Okay. So, everyone, we've got Devin, Maria, and Michael. We're on the call. And before I get started, by way of, review, is there anything that's on your mind about what we've been going through so far?
Nothing top of mind, but I'm sure for me a couple things will come up.
Okay. Devin?
No,
anything
we're good
on
this
mind?
End.
Okay, and how about you, Maria?
No questions as of yet.
Okay, first of all, I want to congratulate this team because I think, you got to figure in that you are probably one of the more diligent teams in terms of, this process that I've had the pleasure to work with. I haven't had to really twist any arms. You guys are adopting everything hook, line, and sinker, and it's very good and it's refreshing. So what we want to do, today is kind of go back through some of the week number nine acquisition information, and one of the things I want to go back into this 96-4-2-2-1 acquisition model, which is a critical part of the new strategy. Now, if we can get the team probably focused 65 to 75% of their time on implementing the concierge model and client acquisition, you're off to the races. So this is a really critical point. So I want to refresh your memory on the 90 part, which was the 90-day free look. Now, the script that I had prepared for you previously, I'm going to go back and just review that so that you know when the 90-day free look comes up. So let me just kind of go through it, refresh your memory, and we'll cover that component. So let's say we're talking with a client, and her name's Mary. So now, Mary, I'd like to ask if there is anything else that you and your family, husband, values in the relationship, experience in working with us, and the service we provide. So the first part of this VIPSA model, referral model, is to look at value, okay? And what you want to hear is we like your frequency of contact, the sensitivity to the needs of the family, effective education, service, your problem-solving ability, great listener, organization, team, etc. Okay? Those are some of the bullets that you would like to hear about. Then it's like, well, what else might be important to you? So that's the I part in the VIPSA model. And your response here is, well, what do you mean? Well, we just want to make sure that we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you if that's okay. All right, so you've covered the I part. Now, with your permission, I'd like to briefly brainstorm with you. We are always looking for good clients that would like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse me or us? Now, let me explain so that's the P part, asking for permission to brainstorm in the VIPSA model. Now, let me explain our introductions process. Sometimes clients don't refer because they don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to treat the person they bring to the meeting. So this is where you explain it. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, or lunch. You would bring the individual with you and make the introduction. I find out a little bit about them. We explain who we are and what we do. And at the end of the meeting, we then determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting what just the potential client is warranted and possible. That's it. No pressure. If there's a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. So let me continue. This is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client and they are placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up. Prior to the end of the 90-day period, they make the decision if they would like to work with us. And you can use that line either there or later in the conversation. Now, to conclude, who in your network, family, friends, neighbors, church members, or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction? And then this is the S part in VIPSA. How would you suggest we meet him or her? Listen very carefully for the buying signals, and then you're going to close. I appreciate you and the time given to us today. I look forward to the next call, and thanks for arranging a meeting with Bill. Or I look forward to our next call. Okay. So now that's going to be done. Most likely you can use it whenever you want to use it. But it's after a positive, productive call or review. That's when you want to use it. So the 90-day free look is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in California you buy a car and, you know, theoretically, in 10 days, you know, you can turn that car back in with no questions asked. That's the law, okay? That's the contract law. So what you're doing is you're giving people an opportunity to experience you and your team, okay? Now, if we can get a strong enough pipeline and improve that base, you can get clients rolling in left and right. Now, I think what you have to do is you got to sit down and think about your goals. You know, how many clients is it going to take at your target levels to meet your revenue targets going into 2020? Okay? So that's the 90 part. That's the free look for prospects. So what do you think about that, Michael?
I think it's pretty nice.
Okay. Now, how is the client acquisition process going for you all now? You know, what do you have going on? Is there a proactive strategy for new client relationships? Why don't you just be upfront and share that with me for a moment?
Yeah, I would say that our new client acquisition has been quiet this year.
Okay. All right.
But what I would say is what we brought in as far as some assets from existing clients has been very strong.
Okay.
Like north of probably $40 million.
Okay. That's really, really good.
I mean, obviously we had a client liquidate, but even without that liquidation, I bet it's probably $20 to $24
million. Okay. Okay.
So I'd say it's like, you know, we laugh because we would prefer to continue to add on existing business without adding on new clients, though, because it's just less work, right?
Right, right.
But obviously we would love to have, you know, new $2 million relationships start up if they were
right.
If we could get them, right, we would do the legwork to do
that. Yeah, and that's why you have to raise your targets and be very, very selective, so that you really get paid for your time in terms of billable hours, okay? Okay.
Right.
That's good.
Now, let me
That's
ask you
good.
A question. So we've got a fair
sure.
amount of, like, you know, $500 to $1 million clients, right?
Right.
When we go through this this process and this ask, right, for new business, how does that flow? Like, how do we get them to refer us business, but, you know, we went – for lack of better words, larger business than probably what they are.
Right. So what you have to do is you have to set the targets and the parameters with your clients and your COIs as we kind of get into this. You have to explain the level of client that you want to work Now, typically, you've got to really be asking the clients that are more affluent that, you know, are really at your targets because, you know, when we discuss the segmentation process, it's always kind of a tough thing to swallow in that, you know, you're targeting and you're moving out relationships that you can't afford to work with anymore because you're raising your targets. So probably about every 6 months, you've got to go back, relook, rethink, reimagine what your targets are, okay? That's how you're going to continue to escalate and continue to work with fewer clients that have a higher financial profile, okay? So start with the top 20% of your book in terms of that referral model. Now, when you drop down a tier or two, it's okay to explain to them these are the type of clients. And so you have to ask them, can you give me an idea of Bill's profile? You know, what does he do for a living? And, you know, is he currently an investor? And then what you have to do is when you're at that meeting, it's got to be above board. Bill, I work with a lot of affluent individuals, and, you know, I appreciate you meeting with me, and I'd like to determine today before we part company if you kind of fit the profile of the kind of client relationship we're looking to establish. And they may respond, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we tend to like to work with people that have assets in the $1.5 million or $2.5 million range. Do you feel comfortable with that? And, you know, they may say, well, yeah, I've got, you know, accounts in other places and other firms. So, yeah, I feel comfortable with that. So that's what you have to do. It's the word choice and how you say it so that you don't come off obnoxious or, you know, intimidating to somebody that you just met for the first time. But you want to lay the groundwork that you just don't take, you know, every relationship. There's a certain amount of exclusivity in terms of your practice. Okay? Does that make sense, Michael? Maria? That makes sense?
Sorry, I was on mute. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. And so that's kind of how we would approach that. Now, the next thing, if we're clued in on that, and that was a very good question, Michael, let's key in on the six COIs. You know, these are folks that are capable of referring people to you. And you have to develop them. They got to know your profile. They have to know how you work. And they need to know your targets in terms of the relationships that you like to work with. So they get a dose of it. So now your clients know what your profile is and who you're interested in working with. Your COIs now know. And because you're going to meet with them on a monthly basis and they have a folder. Now, the four-member mastermind group, let's talk about that for a moment. You know, these are folks that are interested in having kind of a mutual support kind of society where everybody is trying to help each other grow their businesses and also get intellectual capital in the process, you know, via idea exchange, etc. So you would run your mastermind group not too formally, until it gets really, really large. But if it starts off with four people, let's say in your mastermind group, one person is a CFO type, and he's a consultant. So he's looking at, you know, entrepreneurial type businesses. Another member might be an estate planning attorney, and another person might be kind of a CPA. Everybody brings the profile of the ideal client to the meeting, and during those meetings, the leadership rotates. So, Michael, you establish the meeting with one person, and then ask the question, who else should be a part of our group? And these meetings are generally held once a month over dinner, okay? And you go around the table, and let's say you were talking first, your outline of topics or the agenda, you know, might be, I'll give you a little economic update. Let's talk about, you know, the range of clients that we're looking to work with. Let me remind you of the kind of service that we provide and what we're looking for and the expectations. And these are how our clients are receiving what we're delivering. And then you go to the next person. And then you have the interactive conversation. Everybody is chiming in on what their expectations are. And then you have to ask, is there anybody currently in any of our profiles that we think we can work with and have a personal introduction? And if I were you, Michael, I would teach them the referral script and how that works. Okay. So there's so much material in here in terms of how you create that mastermind group. All right, the two community boards. Now, Michael, I don't expect you all to just start to work 100% of these acquisition strategies right away. You should work them in over the next 4 to 6 months. Pick and choose what you feel most comfortable with. The serving on two community boards would be one. So Maria, is there, you know, something that, you know, you are particularly interested in, or is there a board out there that you are focused on right now?
Not right now, but I could always look into it. Devin has something.
I'm a volunteer dog walker.
let me hear that again, Devin.
I'm a volunteer dog walker.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it part of PETA or, you know, any...
the county animal shelter.
Oh, okay. All right. So is there is it a nonprofit? Is there a board?
I mean, I'm sure there is a board.
Mm-hmm. Because you got to raise a little bit of money. You got to care for the animals, and you got to get them, you know, out of the shelters into the hands of promising adoptees or adopters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So the community board piece is getting on a board, you know, not just doing volunteer work, but volunteer work is how you generally get on some of these boards. Okay, so for example, I served for like 6 years on the board of the Y. It had approximately 25 board members in the community. Served 16 different locations, okay? Now, each one of those board members in their own right had different levels of affluence, partners in law firms, some owned their medical practices. So what you would do in that particular case is you'd say, look, Susan, we have been on the board together, and it really occurred to me that I haven't really taken the time to get to know you a little better. I'm wondering if you have time in your busy schedule to meet me for coffee or breakfast and kind of talk about what you do in your business and what I do in mine. And they're going to say yes, invariably. And then you start to, you know, unwind some of the referral model that we talked about. And if you could do that, it could be a source of another half a dozen to eight clients, okay? So that's how you would work the community board. And then the other is to be the expert in a niche market where you're called upon to be a speaker, to conduct workshops for entrepreneurial organizations, okay? And then finally, the social media network strategy, and that is, you know, maybe getting on LinkedIn. I don't know if I've sent this to you, but I have, you know, on my in my file, 34 social media activities. Have we talked about, I don't know that we've talked about that yet, but we can get into some depth on, okay, we can get in some depth in terms of what your profile looks like on LinkedIn, if you have one, meet all the compliance requirements, and begin to work it. You know, on LinkedIn, I have approximately, 1,200 people. And each of those 1,200 people know 10. Okay, so you can immediately jump from, you know, from 1,000 to 10,000, you know, connections if you play it right. Okay, so that would be the social media component. All right, then we spent some time last week talking about the five resources for growth and what could happen if you got 6 introductions per year from 100 clients. That's 600 potential prospects. Just cut that down to like 2. That's 200 potential prospects. Okay? 6 COIs, if they gave you 12 introductions, that's 60 potential prospects. And if your mastermind group gave you 8 introductions per year, that's 32. And you want to be introduced again to the right people. Okay. So I want you to think that very, very quickly you can accelerate your pipeline to generate almost 50, 60, 80 new clients in a year. Now, that would be overwhelming. So you can't do that with everybody that's got $500,000. You got to be selective in terms of, you know, who you're willing to work with, because now you're offering this concierge service. So you can elevate your target, okay, and still maintain somewhere between 75 to 85 relationships per team member. Okay. So that covers most of what we wanted to talk about in that we didn't get to last week. And then in the week 10 was all about the VIPSA acquisition strategy, and I think we covered that in depth. We also cover community involvement, social networking. So what I'd like to do is just ask you a couple of questions. Do you have currently a social media component to your practice?
No.
Are you on LinkedIn?
He's on LinkedIn.
Oh, he's on LinkedIn?
He is, and we post on it frequently.
Oh, you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for the posting? Is that you, Devin?
Maria.
Maria? Oh, is that you, Maria? You do the posting on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I kind of have it set up to go automatically for certain articles.
Okay. Have you had many people ask to join your network?
Not too many. Michael, I mean, you're on there every once in a while. Do you see Any traction?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much.
Okay, here's one suggestion. Remember, I've got 34. I'm going to give you one for today. And that is join some groups that are non-financial oriented. Like, I'm on a chief operating officers group. My alumni from both of the undergrad and graduate school total probably over 400,000 people. So look to join groups, because if you join, let's say, a group of financial, you guys aren't going to refer clients to each other. So join some groups that are kind of unrelated to kind of Wall Street, so that you can single yourself out and be unique in the group. Okay? All right. Now, so we've covered how do we ask for introductions, leveraging your community involvement, and social networking. So your LinkedIn activities, you know, where you're going to try to add a robust network of like 500 plus, and you post an update on a weekly basis, post articles. But the first is to think about some groups, particularly groups that are in your niche markets. Okay. All right. I think that kind of concludes the things that we want to talk about. The VIPSA model now is going to be one of your more critical things to implement and execute for the next time. I'm going to send you kind of some notes on social media ideas and concepts. There's going to be at least 34 of those. And after we conclude our conversation, I'll send those to you. Now, I've done a lot of the talking on this call. So, Michael, are you think that you're ready, your team is ready to start to kick off January with kind of a robust acquisition strategy going forward?
Yeah, I do. This is a year I would just say I felt like the last 6 months have been fairly sloppy as far
yeah.
as just on my end, you know, kind of rushing through calls, this, that, and the other. But
sure,
I think it's
sure.
a real big focus. The clients just want, they want time and attention, right?
Yes.
So we've come up with more of a process-driven kind of like checklist.
Okay.
That we're going to go through with each client just to make sure we know their COIs, you know, how they maybe met, just their hobbies, just get back to being a little bit more personable.
Right.
I think we've got our discussion topics down for the next 12 months.
Great.
You know, and been running a lot of calls with Maria the last probably 30, 60 days to where I feel like she's gotten a lot of experience running these calls and just knowing that these clients need a high standard of care.
Exactly.
And that when we get sloppy or they feel slighted, guess what? They'll leave.
Yep.
We just need to be on our
yep.
game.
Well, I think by you implementing this process, you know, your clients are going to they're going to stay with you, and they're going to refer to you like they've already done. So going forward in 2020, we want to get a little proactive, and then we want to begin to establish the business plan as we go forward. And that's where, you know, once we leave this initial 12 weeks, that's where I wanted to spend, you know, some time and help you on the implementation stage of your of all these strategies that we've been discussing. So
the first 12 weeks, it's a lot to take in, and
it is
kind of circle back and knock out one at a time.
Yeah, just reinforce these concepts and move forward. You have anything else for me, Mike, that you would like me to pay attention to here?
So I've got two folks that I think that would be really good on the mastermind side of things. One's a mortgage broker that's really well connected.
Okay.
And then the other one, he wants to grow. I think he's willing to share. Mike, he's just a great mastermind person to work with. The other one is a guy that they buy and sell businesses. They sell for the most part on the sell side.
Sure.
I think, you know, he's extremely well connected, and his clients are coming off of liquidation events. It's a no-brainer, right?
Right, liquidity events, yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
And then you said just trying to match all these people up, right? As far
right.
as mastermind group. How do I go about, I guess, starting this mastermind group?
Okay.
I know it's like, you know, once a month you want to try to have a dinner or whatever to share ideas and share prospects, right?
Right. I think the first one is start with one. You one-on-one with somebody that you, and you got to interview these folks, you know, and they got to know what the expectations going in. You know, you can't be in the group if you're not willing to refer and share and work for the mutual interest of the folks in this small group. And then once you get that agreement among you and one other person, then you say, now, based on what we've decided to do, who else do you think should be a part of this group? And let him provide some feedback, and then let's interview someone that might be another good prospect outside of the areas that the two of you work in. And then once you have the third one, then the three of you then discuss who that fourth person should be. Now, you have to educate them also in terms of folks that are managing, you know, affluent clients in some way, either by providing mortgages, by doing estate planning, by doing their taxes and accounting work, that sort of thing. Or somebody who's like the president of the local chamber that knows, you know, all the business owners. That's a great, you know, person. So you all talk about the range of people who could possibly join the group and their willingness to refer and to share for the mutual support of this group. And you ask them generally the kind of topics, and you have each one lead, 15 to 20 minutes of the meeting. And so the leadership rotates. How's that sound, Michael?
Sounds good. And then the replays on these, how quickly do these replays come back? I need to listen to this once again.
Okay. The replay will probably happen today sometime. So Lori, she posts them, you know, generally same day, a couple of hours.
Great.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, you're on your way. Maria, any feedback? Any questions you have on this?
No questions on my end.
And so maybe, Maria, you have to establish your own mastermind group. So now we've got two groups of folks. You know, Michael's got a group that's making referrals, and you have a group. So everything is a 2-4 for your team. Okay? So now you're getting into the client acquisition stage. Not just, you know, managing, you know, the clients and delivering the client experience and service, but you are now moving into, okay, What are going to be my key strategies for acquiring new relationships? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to be able to do that confidently with affluent people. And maybe have Michael go with you on a couple of high-profile appointments. Okay? So that they can experience the team dynamic. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Look, I would like you all to... Yeah, sure.
I got one last thing. So I'm on a board of something called the Mercator Group, and there's 130 kind of business owners type of guys. Pretty good group, I mean, as far as opportunity. I just have yet to kind of break in.
Okay.
What we do is we raise money to help the less fortunate youths of Central Ohio by selling
okay.
household goods.
Okay.
The whole slogan is better business, closer friendship, right?
Right.
How would you suggest I start breaking in with these guys as far as trying to get some business here?
So you are currently a part of that group, right?
Yep. So basically just
okay.
stop being a sissy and ask some guys to meet.
Okay. So one of the things I've always done, you know, look, we've been – you know, focusing on this nonprofit and doing these things. And let's say it's Bill. Bill, it really occurred to me that I really haven't taken the time to get to know you a little bit better. And what I'd like to do in that regard is, you know, meet you for breakfast or coffee, discuss some mutual interests, tell you a little bit about what I'm doing, and I'd like to learn a little more about what you're doing. That's it. And start to, you know, have your meeting, start the engagement, and look at
yep.
your VIPSA referral model. Okay?
Good.
And do it with the one that you think is the most influential. So now you've got to decide, is this person a mastermind group member, is it a COI, or is it a client, or is it a combination of two?
Right.
In terms of where they fit in.
Good deal.
You know, yeah. So that's
it.
Honey
hole. I just need to break through.
Well, that's why we spend so much time on segmentation, freeing up your time, getting you organized, delegation of duties and responsibilities, so that you can have the capacity now to look at future growth. That's why we do this. And you'll be going back through some of those same concepts, because you'll constantly be struggling with time, face time with
yep.
clients, face time with prospects.
Yep. I think it's all about if I can go make it rain and bring it into the care center, which would be Maria and Beth. I mean,
yes, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's really what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Good analogy. All right. Well, look, I've enjoyed speaking with you. I think there's a little bit of a reprieve for Christmas, and then you know, we are back off to the races again. So if anything comes up, Michael, as always, you know, send me an email, as you've always done. And I look forward to being very, very supportive. And that goes for you too, Maria.
Thank you.
Devin. All righty.
Thank you.
Have a happy holiday.
Thanks, Curtis.
And I will chat with you soon.
You got
yeah.
it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy Hilton Head.